welcome back to Young Adult Adventist, also known as YAA. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I'm John Ubongan.
And I'm Chandler Coleman. And thank you if you're tuning in on iTunes, Spotify, or if you're just listening on YouTube or any other podcast platform. We love and appreciate you, and we are glad to have you tuning in.
So, today we're talking about God's voice.
Yes, and specifically hearing God's voice.
Yep.
Because this is a big thing we've got questions about, right? Like we had, we put out some things where we wanted people to tell us what do we want to talk about. And a lot of the responses were relating to how do we hear God's voice? How do we know we're hearing God's voice? How do we know if it's God? How do we know if it's just our conscience? How do we know if it's just something our mind is telling us? Kind of just how do we hear God's voice?
And so a lot of the things that we will be bringing up in this episode is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the fifth fundamental belief of Adventism. And so just be aware that when we mention the Holy Spirit, that it is part of the 28 fundamental beliefs of that.
Yes. And so the first thing we're going to be doing is kind of, because I feel like a lot of people think in like the Bible, they're like, oh, people had direct access to God, right? Yeah. So obviously, I feel like people are like, well, that's a lot easier to have direct access to God when God is literally talking to you in the Old Testament and when you literally have Jesus in the New Testament, you know? So a lot of people have that view that Bible times are so lucky to have access to the God Almighty. But that's not really how it was, because in the Old Testament, a lot of times, the only reason God or his spirit could come upon you was if you were a prophet or if he chose for his spirit to be upon you. So he would literally have to be like, for example, like Noah or Isaac or Jacob. He would kind of have to call them out, speak to them, and then the spirit would be upon them. So it's not like everybody had access to this spirit. And then we go to the New Testament. And obviously people had Jesus. They're like, okay, Jesus is there, obviously. There's a lot of people that believed in him. But what people don't realize is that a lot of people thought Jesus was coming to earth to be an actual king. Everyone thought he was going to put actual kingdoms to rest, and he was going to be the one ruling over everything. And so when Jesus came and he started doing a lot of preaching, and when Jesus was really humble, a lot of people didn't believe he was the Savior because he was acting so humble. But Matthew 20:28 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Yes, and this may be getting a little off topic, but that just kind of shows why a lot of people had literal access to Jesus, and yet they didn't believe that it was Jesus. So how much more when people are listening to God's voice? I mean, it's a real concern, because if people literally had Jesus right in front of them and they didn't know that it was Jesus, how much more are we not to listen when it's the Holy Spirit, you know? So it's a legit question, and it's just interesting how Jesus came to this earth, and everyone thought he was going to be an actual king. Everyone thought everyone was going to be serving God, but really God was serving everybody else. And I have another verse. John 14:16-18 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and will later be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." And I think kind of a sneak peek into the further themes into this podcast, it says the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. And it's not like we deserve the Holy Spirit, but we actually have to be wanting and looking for the Holy Spirit. It's kind of the same thing with salvation, you know? We don't deserve salvation, but we actually have to want salvation and to look for salvation.
Amen.
Yes, and Acts 1:8 is another verse. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere to the ends of the earth." So we really do receive power from the Holy Spirit. And I feel like a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit is just this distant thing that maybe when you're about to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will intervene. No, it's the Holy Spirit isn't some distant thing. Like, the Holy Spirit is alive and active, and if we want the Holy Spirit to be in us, the Holy Spirit will work.
Yes. The Holy Spirit listens to those who want to be like new and transformed.
Yes. Who want to be. Yes.
Yes. Keyword want to be. Mm-hmm. You have to really seek out the Holy Spirit for him to be working in your lives, not just in, like Chandler mentioned, not just in times of peril where you are struggling. He's not just the type of person to, or not person, but like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
not the type to just intervene whenever you're going through trials and tribulations. You have to really seek him to have him in every aspect of
your
life.
That's not to say he won't intervene in those, but like, especially when you're not, when life is going good, you need to be seeking the Holy Spirit out, because when life is going good, a lot of us like to think that we've got it under control, but we still need to be leaning on God.
But yes, like Chandler said, he will call it those who walk in the wrong way and convict them to follow the path the Father has made for them. He has good plans for us, and we just have to follow and accept the gift that he has for us. And it's I have a verse here that goes along with this. It is from Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I feel like most of us walk down our own path and our own way, and that we can, and we think that we can do everything by ourselves. Yeah. And with our sinful nature and our own human desires, I feel like our path eventually can lead us astray and bring us to the wrong destination. So that's why I feel like we have to really rely on the Holy Spirit to talk to him and to lead us down the right path, so that we may have that relationship with God.
And the devil is, the devil, I mean, a lot of people think the devil is like stupid or something, but no, the devil is really smart. Yeah. I mean, I've heard multiple people say that the devil probably knows more, and the devil knows more about
the Bible.
Yes, the devil knows more about the Bible and has studied more of the Bible than many Christians, maybe even all the Christians have.
I mean, he was God's right-hand man at one point. So
exactly, and he's studying the scriptures even more to learn how to deceive us, because if you think about it, Christians are studying the word, and so how is he going to deceive us? He's going to study the word to see how he can go against us. And so it's not like the devil is just out there trying his schemes. Yes, they're his schemes, but he's using the Bible, as bad as that sounds, to like go against us. And like John was saying, our problem is like we like to go our own way, but we want the Holy Spirit to guide us on our selfish way. I feel like we can kind of guide ourselves, and when we're on that path, we want the Holy Spirit to work. But then when the Holy Spirit, we feel like God isn't speaking to us on the path that we're on, but yet we're on our own selfish path. I think that that's a huge thing that I had to learn. And I think is a huge problem within the Adventist community, is that we want to be selfish just enough so we can get what we want. We want some of God and some of the world. So we go on that path like away from God's plan. And then we're wondering, why isn't God working? Well, maybe it's because we're not on God's path, you know? And that's not to say God has abandoned us, but how can God do his work, and how can God provide how he wants to when we're half in and half out?
We have to really commit. I think there's a saying, like, you can't sit on the fence. You have to choose either side.
Yes. The devil owns the fence. Yes.
Like Chandler said, you can't follow God when we have our own desires battling with what God wants us to have in our life.
Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of wondering, like, along the lines of, we can't be half-hearted committed to him. And I know I was baptized like sophomore year of high school, so a little over 2 years ago. So I was kind of more mature in that standpoint to some people who get baptized like middle school and maybe not completely understand that. But kind of a question that I took out of this is, why doesn't hearing God's voice become easier after being baptized or accepting him into our hearts? So like an atheist, I guess you could say, they accept God in their heart, they become a Christian. Does like listening to God become easier after that? And if you're already a Christian, it can be the same way in the same scenario. Like being baptized, once you're baptized, why can't you hear God more? And I feel like it's almost just because, back to the point before, we still have to want it. Yes, we got baptized. Yes, we made that public declaration of our faith, but that doesn't mean that we can slack off in a sense. We still have to be going towards God. We still have to want it, you know? We still have to want God's Holy Spirit in us. And the devil is after our soul even more, and he's going to, when we get baptized, the devil is just going to be constantly after our soul. And I saw this quote one time. It was like, how valuable is our soul that both God and the devil are after it?
Yes.
If you think about it, two like supernatural beings are after our soul. How valuable are we, and how much should we strive to protect it?
Yeah, I like that. Like Chandler said, when you get baptized, it doesn't make it easier for you to have that relationship with God. When you get baptized, I saw this one like picture in the internet where When you get baptized, it was this picture of a deer with a giant target on his chest. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like how we can apply that to our lives. When we get baptized, Satan really targets us because he knows that we're committing our life to God.
People think that God's going to protect us even more. And it's not that that's not true, but now it's like the devil's going to target us even more.
He attacks us even more just because we're getting closer to God.
Mm-hmm. And we should, I brought that up the point, we should almost feel honored to be in the midst of spiritual warfare. Obviously, spiritual warfare isn't fun because we're struggling, but when we're in spiritual warfare, it's like, wow, I am this valuable. Yeah. I'm this valuable to God. I'm this valuable to the devil that they're fighting over me, because that's what that's what spiritual warfare really is. Our soul is being fought for. And another point I'd like to make is God is a gentleman. If God knows we aren't pursuing him, like I said before, if we're being lukewarm, if we want more of the world that we want of him, then he's going to be a gentleman. He's not going to come and like grab us. He's going to let us, just like kind of a parent maybe lets their kid touch the hot stove once to make so they know it's hot, so they know not to do it again. It's kind of that same standpoint where God will let us go the wrong way so we can learn. He's going to be a gentleman. He's not just going to tear us back from what could hurt us. And if we're not letting God in our heart, God's not just going to barge in. Like I think Matthew 7 verse 7 says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. In the same way that applies to us, it applies to God too, because he's not just going to barge in. He is going to knock at the door and wait for us to answer it. And if we don't answer it, he's not going to barge in. God is a gentleman. And so if we're not hearing God's voice, like we've all heard before, it's not because he's strained from us, it's because we're strained from him. And if we really want to hear God's voice, we got to give ourselves an honest evaluation and make sure that we aren't going on that selfish, worldly path.
Amen. And I have this verse that kind of goes along with this whole topic of this episode about hearing God's voice and the Holy Spirit. It's Romans 5, 3-5. And I've posted this on my Instagram, so if you guys... some of you guys have probably seen it. It's one of my favorite verses that I hold dear and close. It says, and not only that, but we also have glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Mm. And when we walk that path that God has given to us, like we said, Satan will throw trials and tribulations left and right at us. And like the verse, Romans 5:3-5 says, tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance produces hope. Hope that God will not leave you, and hope that God will not lose. Hope that through the toughest battles that we face, He is there.
Yes. Yeah. And I love that, because it's not like the prettiest of all verses that just gives us all confidence, but it really tells us that there will be trials, but those trials will make us stronger. It's not those verses that say, oh, God is going to deliver us, God is going to save us. Those are all great. Don't get me wrong. But this verse is just straight up saying, when you accept me, there's going to be trials, but it's okay, because these trials aren't just for no reason. They will make you stronger. And I just think that's a huge thing, because if trials were pointless, like if trials and tribulations didn't make us stronger, I feel like I'd be a lot more depressed, because I wouldn't think there'd be a point. And for me in my spiritual life, I think that's been a huge thing that has helped me over the last couple years, is whenever I'm going through a trial, going through a hard time, recognizing that God isn't against me or anything like that, but that this trial, if my heart is lined with his, this trial is going to better me, make me better for a future situation. Because a huge thing that I've been realizing has really helped me is that God is never going to send a trial for no reason.
Yes.
You're always going to get something out of it to apply to the future and to help you in the future. And so me having, even though trials suck, and I'm not saying I'm completely happy during my trials or anything, but it's just this amazing thing that when we go through trials, we can have confidence that they will help us in the future, because everything God does is for a reason. Everything God sends our way is for a reason.
And to hear his voice, and going back to hearing his voice, a lot of people question where to hear his voice in trials and tribulations. And when you're going through a rough time, or when a loved one has passed away, or when you're going through a rough relationship, or a bad friendship, how do I hear God's voice?
Yes.
How do I know that God is talking to me, and that And I know that's one of the questions that has been asked of us. Here I have, it says, his voice can be found in anything, right? Whatever you choose to hear God's voice, whatever means that he's speaking through, it can be found anywhere. And whether you know it or not, he is working in your life. He talks through opportunities. He talks, like Chandler said, through trials, and he talks through blessings you receive. He talks through people. He talks in many ways. Yes, sometimes his voice can be clear, but most of the times for us, it will be difficult.
And I love how you said he works through other people, because obviously we have the Holy Spirit now, and the Holy Spirit can obviously speak through us, but other people is the most, how do I say this? The most genuine thing that's right in front of us, that when people like say something and we were praying about it, we're like, wow, that was from God. We can just tell because people are actually like directly here with us, and they're speaking to us. So when we pray a prayer and a person says something that is related to that and helping with that, we can confidently say that, wow, that was from God, because they're right here. So it's, I love how you say that his voice can work through other people, because when our mind is fogged, when we're on that worldly path, when we may be strained from God's way a little bit, because we all do sometimes, God can send those people to stand right in front of us and be like, this is my truth. You either need to get back on the right path, or whatever it is. God can use people to kind of get into our clouded mind.
And I think that's the way that God talks to me the most, is through people. That's where I found God talking to me the most, is like when there's a lot of people who like really live like Christians. And I feel like that's a way that God speaks through me to convict me to like live more like Jesus.
And that's an underrated blessing we do not think of enough. When we see people that inspire us, people that do good for us, people that are nice to us, we are really thankful for them. We often thank God for them. But I think what we need to do a better job of thanking God more is just the people that inspire us.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the people that are actually literally going out of their way to provide for us, but just the people that inspire us to be more like God. We need to be more thankful for God for even having those people in our lives, because those people are what push us a lot of times to further our relationship with God.
And they're in our lives for a reason. God, you know that God has put them in your lives. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of what God has put in your life and see it in a way as God talking to you, and like their actions and whatever they say. But like I said, sometimes it can be difficult to hear God's voice, especially when you have a close relationship with Christ. Satan, we've talked about this, Satan will do everything to attack
anything
us
he can,
and to cut us off from that, from hearing God's voice.
And we're not going to get into Job right now, but Job is a prime example of that. You've all heard the story.
I love that
Job
story.
Yes, we can't get sidetracked on that. That's a great story, but
But yeah, Satan wants to sever us from God, because we are powerful servants. Whether you know it or not, we have power in us that can defeat Satan, all of his demons.
There is power in prayer, and just us, even if we're feeling like we're strained off, even if we sinned a lot, just being in prayer and just praying to God in general, no matter how broken we are, there is so much power in prayer that even if we're just praying and that's all we are doing for Christ in that time, that's enough power for the devil to be like, we need to get this person away from Christ, because there's just that much power in prayer.
Yes. So, Chandler, when do you hear his voice the most?
When do I hear God's voice the most? And this might sound kind of cliche, but I really do think there's power in it. And when I hear God's voice the most is when I'm most consistent in prayer. And you might be like, oh, well, duh. But when I'm consistent in prayer, and a big problem I've realized in my prayer life is I've been trying to pray a lot more in the morning, pray a lot more at night. But I've been convicted a lot recently that when I pray, I'm treating it almost like a drive-through prayer. And here's what I mean by that. I mean that when I pray, I will pray for like 10 minutes and then I won't listen to God at all. So it's like I'm treating God like a drive-through. I'm going, I'm ordering my food, I'm getting my food. Okay, have a nice day. I'm gone, you know? So I'm kind of focusing my prayer a lot on my life. Yes, I'm thanking God for stuff, but I'm not just, I think a big aspect of prayer is just sitting in silence sometimes and just letting God speak. Because I am very guilty of just praying to God, praying for a long time, going on and on. Yes, I'll be thanking him and praising him, but I'll spend a lot of time talking to God about my problems, but then I'll just end the prayer, say amen, go to bed, or keep going on with my day, what I have going on. And it's just, I'm treating God like a drive-thru. I'm ordering my food. I'm leaving, and I'm not leaving God time to speak. And so, and you don't think that every time you pray, you have to sit and wait for God to speak. But what I mean, that's what I mean, is when I'm more consistent in prayer, when I'm praying more throughout the day, I can be, my mind, since it's more still with the Holy Spirit, since I've been praying more, I'm more prone to realize when I should be doing things, and the Holy Spirit convicts me more. The Holy Spirit, like you were saying, uses other people to talk to me. So when we are more consistent in prayer, when we do it morning and night, when we pray throughout the day, God uses that and makes our minds more aware of, instead of worldly things, makes our mind more aware of kingdom things instead of worldly things. So as cliche as it may sound, being consistent in prayer, that's the biggest thing for me, is just listening, letting God's voice talk to me, listening to God's voice, and just talking to God throughout the day.
And I feel like when you do that, it makes it so that you can hear his voice more clear. Because I feel like when you spend more time with God, right, through the initial battles and things, trials and tribulations that Satan throws at you, when you spend more time with God, I feel like it makes it easier, so that in that way, that when you talk to God, you hear his voice more clear. Because I feel like when you have that relationship with him, Satan, it's harder for Satan to actually cut you off from having that relationship with God and hearing his voice.
Kind of on the contrary to that, like, when is God most silent to me? I would say, honestly, when I choose for him to be silent to me. And what I mean by this might sound, okay, Chandler, that's even more cliche, like, obviously, but here's what I mean by that. It's like when I fall into sin or when I'm feeling really down, I don't like to talk to God because I don't feel worthy. And so when I say when God is most silent to me, when I choose for him to be, it's because when I fall into sin, when I'm feeling guilty, when I don't feel worthy to be talking to God, that's when I choose to not talk to him, because I just don't feel like I'm enough. And then we'll fall into sin, we'll do these things, and we'll decide not to talk to God. And then a day or hours later, when we're like, God, where are you at? Why aren't you showing me something?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't talk to him. And this brings us back to the point we made at first, to where we actually have to want God. God isn't going to barge into our homes. He's always going to knock at the door and wait for it to be open to him. So we can't sin and then just not pray to God and then wonder why he's not talking to us, you know? Like, we've actually got to want it. We've got to be there so God knows that we actually want him. Because I feel like in the hardest situations, when we feel like God isn't working, it's because deep down we don't want him to work, but we're wondering why he's not working.
I think I can relate to that in a way. To me, when God is like quietest, when I can't hear his voice, I think it's when I am in denial.
Yes. Right?
When I'm distant from God, I tend to shy away from him, because I always think that he won't forgive me, or that I'm too sinful, or that I'm dirty.
And that's the devil's best trap, right? There.
Or that I've wronged him too much. And deep down, I feel like I'm always never good enough for him.
Yes.
And you've probably heard this a million times, but God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Yes.
So don't stop things that are weighing down and burdening you
Amen.
From talking to Jesus and really like bringing yourself to him, really like giving your life to him.
Yes, and that's been one of my favorite quotes for years now, is God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. There's so much power in that. God isn't looking for people that have it all together, because spoiler, no one does. And he wants to use us, he wants to teach us, that's what trials are for, to refine us, you know? Like, God isn't gonna, he wants to work through us. And kind of transitioning now, I'm switching gears. One of my favorite verses, this has actually become one of my favorite verses over the last few weeks. It's 1 Corinthians 14:33, and it says, it's very simple. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace." For God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace.
I love it.
And when we're not hearing God's voice, I mean, it's such a simple verse, but when we're not hearing God's voice, that's the main thing, is we're in confusion. We're in confusion. We're like, what's going on? What do I need to do? And I feel like when we're struggling to hear God's voice, that is the main feeling, just straight up confusion. And seeing this verse, God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace, shows us that there's no reason to be confused. And if we're feeling confused, we just need to sit back and realize that God is working. And that kind of brings me into a quote that I've heard a lot and I thought was interesting. I think this verse, 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. And this quote, the teacher is always silent during the test. I feel like those two go hand in hand, because like when we're taking a test at school, the teacher's silent. They can't help you. It's the same thing. The test that God may be giving us, the trials that God is giving us, that may be what raises our grade, to put that in an extent. Because a test, most times in school, tests are worth like the biggest percentage of your grade. And the teacher doesn't help you during the test. That's all you. You figure out, you turn it in, your grade raises, right? And the same, I feel like it's the same thing with God. When God's going to give us tests and God's going to give us trials, he's not going to be always completely active. We're not going to hear his voice clearly in those trials. But when we get to the end, when we turn our test and when we get done with that trial, we're going to realize that God was working wonders while we thought he was silent.
So yeah, definitely listen to God. And like Chandler said, sometimes, yes, it is really
hard to hear God's voice.
Yeah. But that is when it is especially important to really try to remind yourself that when you don't hear him, there is a reason, right? Satan is deafening you. He's making it seem as if you are where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And in reality, you aren't. And that's when you just really need to seek out God and really seek out the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. And like Chandler said, this whole battle, this whole journey in our life, we may not realize it now, but in the end, when we get to heaven, we will see that God really worked in our lives. And when we turn in that test, we will see that everything that Jesus has taught us and has done for us really paid off.
Yeah, and we see that the devil, like you said, the devil likes to have us right, to think right where we are is enough. And we've all heard the saying where the devil wants you in church if you go to church and you go home and you act just as bad as you were. The devil loves for us to go to church if we don't change how we are and we don't let God change us when we're outside of the church. So it's kind of just that same thing. But that's another huge one of the devil's traps, is he always wants us where we are. And this is Young Adult Adventist, so what do we have? A quote from Ellen White. Okay. And this quote is from Ellen White. It requires earnest attention from us to distinguish the voice which speaks from God. We must resist and conquer inclination and obey the voice of conscience without parleying or compromise, lest its prompting cease and we will impulse control. And this is just basically showing that we can't compromise. We have got to be 100% committed to God. It can't be 50-50 like we mentioned in the beginning. And we can't compromise with what we think God is telling us. We've always got to be open to God's voice, because I feel like God may scare us sometimes and call us to do things that we don't necessarily want to do, or that we aren't comfortable with going. And that brings us back to your quote where you said God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. When we are comfortable with something that God tells us to do, we'll push it to the side and try to go our own way, and then we wonder why we aren't hearing God's voice, you know? Like, we've got to listen to God, and if we're feeling uncomfortable, talk to God about it. God wants us to always be honest with him. Talk to God about what you're feeling, but don't just go the opposite way and then wonder why you're not hearing anything.
Yes. So in summary to all of this, number one, God sent the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So when you feel something working, just know that it is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And just feel comfortable and free to open up your hearts and to talk to the Holy Spirit, and just, in a way, take advantage of the Holy Spirit that is working in your life, and just ride it along the railroad and the track to God's path. Number two, we know we can't earn it, and we've got to want it, right?
Yes. We can't just sit there and just expect God to do it all. And an example I was going to mention earlier, but I forgot. It's like we're in like a big crowd of people, and we're specifically wanting to talk to someone, but yet there's a bunch of different people talking to us at the same time. I mean, I know how annoying that is when I'm trying to get the attention of someone, when I'm trying to have a conversation with someone, and there's a bunch of people asking me questions and stuff around me, and it's just, you cannot focus. And it's the same thing when we allow the world, when we allow worldly things to get into our mind, to cloud our mind. How are we supposed to hear God's voice clearly? How are we supposed to have a one-on-one conversation with God and have him speak to us and us speak to him when our mind is clouded with all these people or all these worldly things around us that are asking us questions, that are having our attention? We've got to have our attention solely to God and not have all these things influencing it.
And then going again to what I was going to say in the summary of all of this that we've been talking about, the devil is constantly going to try to weigh us down so that we can't go to the presence of God.
Yes.
And that's when we have to make sure our heart's in the right place.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit can really do its best. We're not to say the Holy Spirit can't work when our heart's not in the right place, but the Holy Spirit really can unleash its power when our heart is in the right place. And when we say heart in the right place, we're just meaning when we're on the upward spiral pursuing God. It's not like our heart has to be perfect. We don't have to be completely clean of sin necessarily. We just have to be on the upward spiral choosing God.
Amen. And like Chandler said, the teacher is always silent during the test.
Yes, we've got to always remember that.
Yep. Whenever we don't hear God's voice, just know that he is working in your lives, and there's a spiritual warfare going on. That they're battling for you, that God is really working to want you to have that relationship with him.
And like I mentioned before, that can be a really powerful thing in so many lives, is when we realize that when God's voice seems the most silent, when God is giving us that test, when we're going through those trials that don't seem like there's any light at the end of the tunnel, that when we finally get to either side, when we pass through that, when we get through that, and when we get our grade back, we'll realize that that trial is what we needed to help us in our journey after that. So that was kind of our whole summary and our first official episode on hearing the voice of God. So we hope you guys got something from this. We hope you were blessed. We're definitely blessed. And we hope you guys join us for the next episode. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to Young Adult Adventist. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
See ya.